I'm Andy Bates, part of the team here at KFUO. While you hear me on the air and in podcasts, I'm also part of the team that works behind the scenes to bring you the programs like this that you value. What you hear on the air and in podcasts is just the tip of the iceberg. Listeners like you generously support everything that makes radio and podcasts happen. Administration, cutting-edge technology, software, hosts, producers, and more. You make this happen. Can we count on you to continue this support? KFUO Shareathon, now through April 5th, is a great time to show your support and make a gift or make a plan to give for a whole year. Your generosity is important and appreciated, not just by the KFUO team, but by listeners who get to hear and enjoy Christ-centered programs every day. Will you make a gift today? KFUO.org/give. KFUO.org/give.
Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 through 46, and the Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Matthew, the 21st chapter. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the Scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard these parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now,
in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
My choice vineyard, I myself planted you. Why then have you turned to bitterness that you should crucify me and release Barabbas? I enclosed you and plucked the stones from you and erected a tower. My choice vineyard, whom I myself planted. This is one of the many poignant texts that were sung at the Tenebrae responsories during Holy Week in times past and still today. With tenderness, the Lord fashioned the land for his people and he prepared everything for them. And it's this tenderness that makes the betrayal so deeply hurtful. This parable that Jesus tells is not actually an original. Jesus was building on the image of the vineyard that Isaiah had wrote first. Isaiah was among those servants that the master sent seeking fruit from his people and yet finding none. And now that Jesus had entered Jerusalem in Matthew's account for the last time, entering into his great holy week, his parables do seem to be losing something of their obscurity, don't they? Finally, he sent his son. That's more than a hint. It was also by Isaiah that the Lord had promised, seeing they will not see, hearing they will not hear, lest they would turn and I would heal them. Well, today, the leaders of the Jews perceive, they hear, they see. They're able to grasp at least the point, only the point, the sharp point of the parable, pointing out that they are the wicked tenants, the ones who will be broken to pieces and crushed by the stone. But they're not able to grasp that the stone would lead them to healing. They were not able to grasp that they should repent and believe in this man who is before them. And that was the word that preceded today's scripture, the heart that's nestled between this parable and the other parable before it. Jesus says that John came to you in the way of righteousness. You did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And yet even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him. Dear Christians, the refusal to change your mind is the most deadly condition that can befall you. The refusal to repent is what damns. It drives out the Holy Spirit to shut him up at all costs. And it locks the door then so he can never come back. Paul vividly puts it this way. He says it sears the conscience. And it lashes the rudder and it arrogantly says, full steam ahead, right on into the jagged rocks. Or maybe we should say today, into the stone which God has made firm and stable in order to be the ground of salvation. But if you refuse it, the rock of destruction. The Lord sends his prophets to speak the words that will be our judge at the last day if they are not our rescue and our Savior now and always. Our own mouths will get to speak them sometimes, in fact, just like when Nathan came to David, or today when Jesus comes to his own and asks them, you tell me, how should it be? That man deserves to die. Or these wretches should be put to a miserable death and the vineyard given to someone else. Well, you have said so. And if the Lord responds by his ministers, you are the man I'm talking about. You are the wretch that you just condemned with your own words. What will you do? It would have been a boring but understandable story, I think, if David had pulled out his sword and slew Nathan the prophet that day. And David had already killed Uriah in battle, made all sorts of blunders and cover-ups, shown that he was not afraid to get his hands dirty and get people out of his way. But of course, the story is marvelous because David repents. God be praised, the word of the prophet woke David up. It brought him out of murder and death and adultery and a spiral that would lead to his destruction and brought him back to life. Repentance bears fruits. This is a predictable, easily perceived, but fruitless story when the Pharisees and chief priests reject David's son. They do precisely the expected thing. They kill the messenger so he'll stop speaking to them about their problems. Kill, in fact, the master's son. And in so doing, they throw away their place forever. The stone that the builders rejected is the cornerstone. He bears the price for sins. His death seems like a surprise in the story that even the son would be rejected, but what remained hidden from the Jews who started to perceive today, that is not hidden from you, dear saints. It was this son's aim all along to lay down his life. And yes, to give his inheritance away even to sinners. Do not think of sin lightly, and do not double down when you are called to repent. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, return to the Lord your God. And return to him because of this cornerstone, who is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. So it is that when we come at last to Good Friday, we will hear similar things, hard words spoken to us from the Old Testament, even from this very prophecy that Jesus speaks. O my people, what have you done? And what have I done to you? But our response will not be to plot against him. Our response will be, have mercy on us, O Lord. And then we will look to his cross. We will look to his sacrament. We will sing the song again of his great battle and his victory, and behold that he is our cornerstone on whom we build with salvation. Christ Jesus has shed his blood to forgive sinners. There is nothing to fear then in repentance with a God who is merciful like ours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.